Well, Fusion, so excited to get to continue in our series, The Holy Spirit, tonight. Before I get there, I just want to say I was on the Union Rescue Mission team at Love LA yesterday, and we had an absolutely amazing time down there. I want to give a special shout out to this crew sitting over here, Jen and Duran and Drago and Sean. They went above and beyond on this project in a couple ways. One, they went down on Friday, the day before the event, and spent all day working down there, prepping the area for our team to arrive, doing all this work so that when we got there, we could just get to work. And it was such a blessing that you guys did that for us. And the other thing is, there was a specialty project down there remodeling a barbershop that they were mostly handling because they know how to remodel stuff. They were like, Bo, here's a paintbrush, you do this. But they were like fixing things and building things. And our entire team finished at 5 o'clock when we aimed to, but they had a few things that were left over they needed to finish up. And I got a text at 10:30 from Drago saying, we're leaving right now. They stayed till 10:30 finishing the job they started last night, you guys. Yeah. Superheroes. I was in bed when he texted. I'm like, dang, like, that's impressive. Thanks so much for all your work and for everybody who served at all of the sites, all the locations around Los Angeles. We made a huge difference yesterday, and thanks for working to see it here in LA as it is in heaven with us. So, hey, excited to continue in our series. Will you guys grab your bulletin, which you got on your way, hopefully, in the door, as we continue to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. You know, this is no surprise to many of you, I'm a sports fan. I think I've talked about that before. Maybe you're familiar with this. I was once upon a time an athlete. Now I play golf very badly, and I watch people younger than me make millions of dollars playing games I used to play in junior high. And life is just unfair like that. But I love to follow sports. I love to watch sports. My baseball team, my favorite baseball team since I was a little kid, has always been the Texas Rangers. Now, I'm from Dallas, Texas originally. They're a DFW area team. That should come as no surprise that I would pull for the Rangers. I will say that since moving to LA about 8 years ago, the Dodgers have become what I call my other team. Like, I pull for the Dodgers. What I find is that since neither the Rangers nor the Dodgers can win a World Series, there's no conflict there. So I just pull for the two teams that lose back-to-back World Series. It's like, cool, glad that's me. Those are my teams. But the Rangers, they recently signed a player in this offseason that the Wall Street Journal titled him the most hotly anticipated free agent in baseball. And what that meant is that of all the available players, all the players on the market that teams could sign, this guy was the most desired, most anticipated. People were the most fascinated to see where this one guy was going to sign. And his name is Jeff Mathis, and he signed a deal with the Rangers, a two-year deal making $6.25 million. Now, in the grand scheme of the ridiculous contracts that are put out in baseball for elite players, that may not seem like that much money, but I'm just going to say I wouldn't turn down a $6.25 million contract to do just about anything. And so he signs this contract, but here's the thing. It's a really interesting deal that Jeff Mathis signed this contract. You see, here's what's interesting about Jeff Mathis. He is one of the worst hitters in baseball history. In all of baseball history. In fact, of all the players who have played baseball and had at least 2,500 at-bats, Jeff Mathis has a worse batting average than all of them, except for one guy. And that guy played baseball in the early 1900s. Jeff Mathis is one of the worst hitters in baseball history. He can't hit the ball, and unless you're an elite pitcher, when you play baseball to get signed to a team, you need to be able to get a hit. And this guy can't get a hit to save his life, and yet, he was one of the most anticipated and hottest desired free agents in baseball this season. Why? Why would a guy who cannot hit the ball be somebody that so many teams are interested in signing? Well, here's what's true about Jeff Mathis. He's a catcher. And he's a catcher with a reputation of being a phenomenal game manager. He's known for framing a pitch, which means when he catches the ball from the pitcher, he has a way of getting his glove to just the right spot where it gets a favorable call from the umpire more than any other catcher in the league. He's great. He's known for throwing out base runners and stopping baseballs that are thrown in the dirt. And he is legendary for his knowledge of knowing what pitches he needs to call for the pitchers. Pitchers love to pitch to Jeff Mathis. Pitchers can be kind of high maintenance in baseball. I don't know if you guys know that. But every team that Jeff Mathis is on, pitchers love to have him on their team. He wins the entire pitching staff. You see, Jeff, he can't do everything. He doesn't have phenomenal talent or phenomenal gifting in every area, but there are certain things that he is exceptional at. He is a better than average catcher. It's not that he's gifted in everything, but he makes the most out of what he is gifted at. Tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's desire to give us gifts, spiritual gifts, and how our responsibility is to receive those gifts, to recognize those gifts, and to make the most out of every gift the Holy Spirit would give us. Would you pray with me as we look at God's word? Lord, we thank you for tonight. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are in this place. We thank you for the gifts that you desire to give us. We pray that even as we talk about them tonight, would you release gifts in us? Would you make us aware of our spiritual gifts? Would you help us to step into our spiritual gifts even more? And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive and that it is active, that when we read it and when we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So we pray that you would change us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we're going through this series on the Holy Spirit, the question that we're asking ourselves is, if the power of the Holy Spirit was suddenly turned off in your life, would you notice? Would anybody else around you notice? Are you so aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in you and through you that if it stopped, you would know something is missing in your life? And tonight we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And as soon as I start saying the word spiritual gifts, people are already starting to get nervous across this room. Maybe you've had some experiences that make you feel very uncomfortable when it comes to talking about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit wants to give us. Maybe you've heard some stories of places where things got weird. But I just want to remind you that our God is a God of peace, and our God is a good God. And if our good God wants to give us good gifts, then we don't need to be anxious about that. We don't need to be afraid of those things. A spiritual gift can be defined as an ability given by the Holy Spirit to an individual to build up the church and empower our mission. I'll say that again. An ability given by the Holy Spirit to an individual to build up the church and empower our mission together. Paul writes about spiritual gifts in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He writes this, it's in your bulletin, also be on the screen. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, let me read it from this translation. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And all of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I love what that first sentence says, that God, he doesn't want us to be unaware of our spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are not meant to be some mysterious thing that we just don't know about and we just don't understand and we just don't really get how they work. Sometimes spiritual gifts can get lumped into that type of category where it's like how taxes work and spiritual gifts. Like, I don't totally understand it. Every now and then they show up, and then I just hope I get it right. And then I just hope I don't screw it up in the process, right? No.
Paul says, listen, I don't want you to be uninformed about this. I want you to know about your spiritual gifts. God doesn't want this to be a mystery to us. Yes, God can be mysterious, but at the same time, he gives instructions, he gives order, he gives even some logic to how this works as we receive and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Before I go much further, I just want to say that spiritual gifts are a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to people when we experience everything that Jesus is, when we experience him as our Savior and make him Lord of our lives, we experience the power of his Spirit. If you are not a follower of Jesus, I just want to say, first of all, how glad we are that you are here. You are welcome in this place. You can always come here and be with us and hear from God's word. But I just want to tell you, if you're not a follower of Jesus, these things are available to you tonight. The goodness of who Jesus is, his resurrecting power in your life is available to you tonight. All of the gifts of the Spirit that he wants to pour out in your life, they're all available to you tonight. You can say yes to Jesus and say yes to the Holy Spirit and receive the gifts that he has for you. If you want to know more about that, talk more about that, come and see myself or one of the pastors after service. We would love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that, and help you walk through that. Three things that I want us to know tonight about spiritual gifts. Number one, you can write this down. Everyone means everyone gets one. Everyone means everyone gets one. You see, the Holy Spirit, he could give more than one, but what the Bible tells us is that followers of Jesus all receive at least one spiritual gift. And you might look at me and say, Bo, that I don't know if I believe that's true. Like, that maybe is true for pastors and super spiritual people, but I don't know if I actually have a spiritual gift. I have doubt whether or not I have a spiritual gift. What I just want to ask you is, well, are you a follower of Jesus? If so, then you need to have faith that says, I believe what God's word says about me. And God's word says that as a follower of Jesus, I will receive at least one, maybe more, of the spiritual gifts that he wants to give me. If you are a follower of Jesus, that means you have at least one spiritual gift that has been entrusted to you, has been given to you. The question is, do you know what that gift is? Do you know what those gifts are? If you don't, if you're unaware of them, it's almost the same as not even having the gift. Because you aren't fully using that gift. You aren't maximizing that gift's potential in your life and in this church. And an unused gift is a sad thing, right? Have any of you ever received a Christmas gift or a birthday present that you never opened or actually used? When I was 13... my great-grandma, we called her Graham. She passed away several years ago, but Graham, loved Graham. She was amazing, amazing woman of Jesus, prayer warrior. She prayed for me every single day of my life. But Graham gave some weird gifts. You guys had that a weird gift giver in your family? Yeah. And when I was 13 for Christmas, my great-grandma, Graham, gave me a new shower faucet for Christmas. Which was weird because this was not on my Christmas list. I wasn't in the market for a new shower head in my shower. And in front of all of me, like 30 of my family members, all my cousins gathered around my grandparents' living room, I opened this shower faucet and they're like snickering at me. I'm like, shut up, dude. Like, it was weird. Especially because, how many of you know, at 13, you're really insecure already. And you get a shower faucet and you're like, like, what is she saying to me right now? Like, am I the smelly kid and I don't know it? Like, what is? And so the truth is, I never even opened it. I never used it. I took it home. For clarity, I used my regular shower faucet. Like, I showered all the time. You're, like, very concerned right now. Yeah, I used the one I had, okay? And I just tucked this one, like, in my room in the corner. And it got a little weird because in the next couple times I saw Graham, she'd be like, hey, how's that present I bought you? I'm like, so good, Graham. Like, the way, like, it does water and stuff, like, so good. It got weird. The funny thing is, my dad ended up coming in my room and taking it out of my room, and he installed it in his bathroom, in his shower, and it ended up being the greatest shower head of all time. It was, like, legendary with all of its settings and stuff. And I completely missed out on it. Because I just refused to even acknowledge it was a gift for me. I didn't open it. I didn't use it. I didn't put it to use at all in my life. Look, you have been given a gift by the God of creation, who desires for you to play a role in his redeeming work in this world. And he has given you gifts so that you can play that role. But every single one of us, we run the risk of completely missing out on that when we don't acknowledge or we don't use the gifts that he has given us. The Bible has several places that it lists spiritual gifts. And I just want to encourage you. There's one listed in your bulletin. There's another on a website. I'll talk about it in a minute. But read the list of spiritual gifts. And as you're doing so, pray and ask God to reveal to you if any of these gifts are gifts that you believe he has given you. Do you have the gift of mercy? Do you have the gift of helps? Do you have the gift of leadership or of teaching or of hospitality? Read the list of the spiritual gifts in Scripture. Pray and ask God to show you, Lord, what is the gift or what are the gifts that you have given me? Another way you can determine your spiritual gifts, you can discover them, is to take a spiritual gifts test. And we provide it in your bulletin, it'll be up on the screen as well, a website for a great spiritual gift test. You can tell what it's for based on what they called the website. I love the clarity on that. It's a great website where you can go, answer some questions, and based on what you answer, it will help you understand what spiritual gifts you have. In addition to that, on this website are phenomenal descriptions of all of the spiritual gifts, examples of what they are. So if you have questions about what these gifts are, you can go to that website. A third way to discover and become aware of your spiritual gift is to ask those people, those Christ followers in your life who you're closest to, ask them what they think your spiritual gifts are. What would your life group say your spiritual gifts are? If your roommate is a follower of Jesus, what would they say your spiritual gifts are? This is helpful because sometimes we can't see it ourselves and we need somebody else to call it out of us. Conversely, this is helpful because sometimes we think we have a certain gift in our life and it's not actually playing itself out in our lives. Like if you think you have the gift of mercy, but everybody's afraid of you all the time, you may not have the gift of mercy. You need somebody to tell you that, okay? If you think you have the gift of generosity, but nobody in your life can tell a story of when you were generous to them, you might not actually have the gift of generosity. If you think you have the gift of leadership, but you can't actually lead anybody, nobody ever follows you in anything that you lead, that may not be a gift that you have. So it's so helpful to have loved ones who can tell you the truth in love and help call out the gifts that God has given you. Sometimes people will ask, can I pray for a specific gift that I find in Scripture? Well, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul writes, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And he says, especially prophecy. I'll just note very quickly, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to spend an entire night talking about prophecy and then a whole nother night talking about speaking in tongues. So we'll really dive into those two gifts in particular later. But what we see in Scripture is, yes, you can pray for, you can seek out specific gifts if there's something that you want to have in your life. So Fusion, seek the gifts of the Spirit. Desire them, pray for them, and learn what your gifts are. The second thing about spiritual gifts I want us to know, number two, what you do with your gift is your responsibility. What you do with your gift is your responsibility. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to a young leader named Timothy who received the spiritual gift of evangelism. And Paul writes this, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I love this verse. I love this verse. This phrase, fan into flame, it's such an interesting word that is only ever used once in the whole Bible. And it literally means stir up the living fire. Which I love. Paul says, stir up the living fire of the spiritual gifts that God has given you in your life. It's the idea of giving a fire what it needs so it can burn bright and it can burn hot and it can serve all the purposes that it is meant to. If you've ever been camping, you know a fire must be tended to. You don't just strike a match and put it on a piece of wood and have a bonfire there for you. There's stuff you have to do, right? You have to create the right environment for it. You've got to put the wood and the logs in such a specific way. You've got to find the right amount of the right kind of tinder to put in that fire. Once it has started to burn a little bit, you've got to gently blow on it and fan it and give it the air that it needs. And then it will begin to burn bright and burn hot. But how many of you know that even after a while of burning bright and burning hot, the hottest fire will eventually die down? And once it's died down, you have all of those coals there. What happens when you fan air on them and you blow on them? The fire reignites again, doesn't it? Paul says that our spiritual gifts, they're like that. You have been given spiritual gifts by God, but it's up to you to decide what to do with it. You can ignore it if you want to. You can let it go dormant. You can pretend like it's not even there. Or you can take steps of faith to see this gift that God has given you be fanned into flame and come to life in your life. If you've been given the gift of generosity, what do you do with that gift? Do you exercise it? Do you lean into it? Do you seek out new ways to practice that gift and new ways to be generous? I have found and I believe that I have the spiritual gift of leadership. This is something that was spoken over me as a young child that has been called out of me by women and by men that I trust. It's shown up time and time again on spiritual gift tests that I take. But just because I have this gift, it doesn't mean that I don't need to fan it into flames. It doesn't mean that I don't need to lean into this. It certainly doesn't mean that everything that I lead is always perfect. Ask anybody who's ever followed me anywhere and they'll tell you that. But it's my responsibility to do something with this gift. If I want to be the leader that God wants me to be, then I have to work at this thing. So what do? I get around women and I get around men who are better leaders than I am, and I ask them questions. I cannot stress enough the power of a question mark in your life, Fusion. I ask them questions, and when they speak, I take notes. I write things down because I want to remember the wisdom that they are giving me, because I know that is fanning into flame the spiritual gift that God has given me. I ask people to pray for me and my leadership. I read books about leadership. I step out in faith and lead in situations that seem too big for me. I can't tell you how many times I have stared at something that I know I need to lead myself and a community through, and my initial instinct is this is way too big for me, but then I remind myself if God has given me this gift, then he is going to help me with this, and I step out with all the courage I can muster into a situation. I pray and I ask God to help me become the leader that he wants me to be. And as I do these things, this gift is fanned into flame more and more in my life. As you learn what your spiritual gifts are, as you understand how they work, I want to encourage you, Fusion, fan them into flame. Practice them. Ask wise people. Ask mentors in your life. Ask your pastors, how can I practice this gift? How can I lean into this gift here at Fusion? How can I use this gift here at Christian Assembly? Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, do not neglect your gift which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Put your gifts to use and fan them into flame. And listen, here's what I want us to really know. God delights in it when we put our gifts to use. When we fan the spiritual gifts into flames that he has given us, he is so full of joy when we do that. The third and final thing I want us to know about spiritual gifts tonight, number three, God designed our gifts to work together to build up the church. God designed our spiritual gifts to work together to build up the church. Fusion, the church is not built through isolated heroes. There are no lone rangers in the church. Any church that is built on one person and one person's giftings and personalities is a dangerous church because things can go sideways there very, very quickly. See, for the church to become everything that it's supposed to be in this world, it will take all parts of the church, all members of the church, using their unique spiritual gifts to help the church on the mission. Because we need each other in order to be successful, don't we? That's true in so many areas of our lives. We need each other to be successful. My children know that this is true. I've got three kids. My daughter Austin is three. My son Shepherd is two. And we just had our baby Weston just over a month ago. And my two older, they're learning how to work together in some very interesting ways. Austin has been in a big girl bed for about a year now, which means that for Austin to, after she goes to bed, to come out in the evening after she's supposed to be in bed, that's not a really uncommon thing, not all the time, but she comes out and we redirect her back to bed. But Shepherd is still in a crib. And Shepherd has never figured out how to get out of his crib. So Shepherd doesn't walk out of his bedroom after we put him to bed. Except the last two nights, this is a real-time story, the last two nights after we put them to bed, Austin has walked out of her room with Shepherd right behind her just walking out of the room. And it's like, how is this happening? So we watched on the monitor in their room. Austin has begun to stand on her toy chest and help Shepherd up out of his bed to help him follow her out of the room. And it's like, these kids either ignore each other or fight with each other all day long, and now they want to cooperate. Like, now they understand we need each other to be successful. Like Shepherd climbing out of his crib, we need each other in order to be successful at what we're called to do. By the way, I don't think Shepherd's called to climb out of his crib, except by his sister maybe. And he knows that that is very true because we put him right back in bed. But we need each other to be successful. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. He then goes on to say, and the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives you, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. You see, every single spiritual gift, except for one, every single spiritual gift, its key purpose is to strengthen the church. Its key use is to strengthen the church. The one exception would be speaking in tongues, which we're going to talk about in a few weeks. And that's the only gift given with a personal use that says speaking in tongues is to build up the inner man, the inner person, strengthen us in who we are. Other than that, every spiritual gift, its purpose and its goal and its use is to strengthen the church. Your gifts will make the church better, Fusion. Your gifts will make the church stronger. God has a plan and a purpose for what He is going to do and accomplish in this city and in this world, and you and your gifts are a part of that plan. Don't you know that we need you? Our church needs you and your spiritual gifts. Fusion needs you and your spiritual gifts. We have a mission that we're on here at Fusion to help young adults of Los Angeles experience the grace and the mercy and the resurrecting life of Jesus. And as they do, we believe that young adults are going to find their people and that they're going to find their purpose. But that mission will never be fully realized without you and your gifts being a part of it, with your gifts being fanned into flame to help in the mission that God is on in His church. In 1 Corinthians 12, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but there are verses that we put in your bulletin. And basically, Paul says this. He says, it's like a human body, that one part of the body can't say to another, I don't need you, because every part of the body makes up the body. He says, in the church, it's the same way. Your spiritual gifts, you can't look at somebody else's spiritual gifts and say, we don't need you, because we all make up the body of Christ together. Alex, if you'll join me up here. Nobody can say to each other, I don't need you. Because we do. I need you, Fusion. I need your spiritual gifts. And I'm not just talking as Bo the pastor or Bo the leader. I'm talking about Bo the person. I need your spiritual gifts in my life. I need your mercy in my life. I need your help in my life. I need you to pray for me to be healed. I need your exhortation, which simply means to come alongside somebody and call out the best in them. I need your gifts in my life, and you need my gifts in your life, and we need each other's gifts in all of our lives. Because when we, as the church, are fanning into flame our spiritual gifts, stepping out in faith, believing I have a role to play in this thing, that is when the church is at her best. In 1 Peter 4:8, Peter writes this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Look, spiritual gifts are always in the context of faith and love. Let's love each other well through our spiritual gifts. Let's step out in faith together, believing that God is going to use each of our spiritual gifts to collectively join into the mission He is already on in this church and in our city. So I want to encourage you tonight, let's discover our spiritual gifts together. Let's pray for spiritual gifts. Let's seek spiritual gifts together. Let's fan into flame the gifts that we already have, asking God to help us to put them to use, to put them to action, to join them to His mission. Let's be a community that leans fully into all of the gifts that God has for us. I just want to remind you that coming up in just a couple of weeks on Thursday, June 6th, I want you to write that day down. Thursday, June 6th, we're going to have a night of worship and prayer together on a Thursday night where we're going to be worshiping God and seeking the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be asking Jesus to pour out His Holy Spirit upon us and release every gift that He has for us. That is something that you can do now. We will do that together in just a moment. But I want to encourage you, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, if you want more of the spiritual gifts that God has for you, I want to encourage you to come to that night full of faith, believing that God's going to do something miraculous on that night together. As we prepare to worship, we're going to have our prayer teams join us over to the side of the stage, and we're going to do something just a little bit different. As we're worshiping, if you want prayer for anything, it could be more of the Holy Spirit in your life, more of the gifts of the Spirit in your life, or any other thing, I want to encourage you while we're worshiping to make your way over there and receive some prayer. They'll be there after service as well. You can wait, but we just wanted to just make some space available for you while we're worshiping God to pray together. So would you stand with me? We'll let you know. Let's pray together as we prepare to close our time in worship. God, we thank you for the truth of your scripture. We thank you for the gifts that you have for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives. So we ask now, would you just even pour out your spirit on us in a new way, Jesus? Lord, I pray that you would release gifts in people, people who are seeking the gifts of your spirit, who have gifts they are desiring. I pray that you would pour out your gifts on people in this community, in this room, even now, we pray. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.